We want to pray for the folks in Haiti this morning. It's a phenomenal disaster that happened there yesterday. Many of you know who Jeff Gillette is that normally sings in our choir up here. Jeff and his brother have an orphanage in Haiti. And God has just done an incredible work in sparing their lives. The disaster was near them. They had one young man that had a leg injury, but all the children are okay. But in the other cities, you know the devastation has taken place. The hundreds and hundreds of lives that have been taken, the disaster. And I don't know why, it just seems like Haiti is an area that just keeps getting one hit after another hit after another hit. And so just this morning, let's just lift our voices up to the Lord. Father God, we come to you and we lift up Haiti. I pray for the government or the lack thereof. We pray, Lord, for all the missionaries spreading your love in that area. Lord, I believe with all of my heart there's a spirit of darkness over Haiti. It has been for centuries. And a combination of occultism and witchcraft and traditional tribalism, if you will. And I pray, Father, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would penetrate, that at a time like this, they would know, God, how special you are to them. And Father, I pray that we, on this end, will be supportive in prayer and in finances and resources. Thank you for Jeff's heart to reach that, what we would call a third world country. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, let me tell you what I'll do. We're going to go a little bit different. This was going to be our last morning in this building. I don't know if you're familiar with the scripture in Exodus chapter 8. The children of Israel have been taken captive. They were stuck there. They went down because there was a famine originally, and they were just going down long enough to get some food to go back home. They ended up staying there 400 years. That's like the old sign, guess who's coming to dinner? And they stayed a while. But finally, God was getting ready to let them go. You know this story. God told Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, 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 let my people go. Pharaoh said, no, 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 no. And so God said, well, Pharaoh, we'll send some plagues on you and get your attention. And you know those plagues were many, 10 different plagues. One of the plagues that came to them was the plague of frogs. And if you have a pond or a swamp area, you know how these frogs, I mean, you talk about procreation, they can do it. These things are everywhere. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 8, says, I'll cause the frogs to come up out of the water and come into your home and into your bed chambers. Now, some translations make that your bedroom. The truth of the matter is that's the most private part of your bedroom. It's where the potty is. Can you imagine going to the bathroom and raising the lid and there's Kermit looking up at you? It says they'll be in your kneading trough. Now, some of you young bucks aren't old enough to remember this. And if you're old enough to raise your hand in a minute, then you need to make sure your final affairs are in order. But when I was a little boy, we had an old stove with a warming oven, and on the right-hand side was this bin that my mom would spread flour, filter flour through, and it would come down. How many of you ever saw one of those in your whole life? You are so old. And it said it got in the flour bins, it got in the bed, it was everywhere. Here, frog, there, frog, everywhere, frog, frog. Old Pharaoh had some frogs. It was bad. And it got so bad, for the first time, Pharaoh said to Moses, entreat the Lord for me, that he would remove the frogs from the borders and from our homes and from our land. And I think it's in verse 10 that Moses says this incredibly deep theological statement. He said, glory over me. Interpreted in modern language, that means hot diggity dog. And he said, when shall I entreat the Lord for you that these frogs will be gone? And in Pharaoh said the most asinine statement in all of the Bible. You got frogs in your armpits. You got frogs everywhere. And Moses said, when do you want the frogs to go? I can do it. God can do it. And Pharaoh said, let's do it tomorrow. Give me one more night with the frogs. There's a lot of symbolism and teaching that we can do there. But that's what's happened to us going into our new building. We thought today would be the last day we would be here. No, 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 no. Give me one more night with the frogs. One more week. But guys, with the help of Jesus Christ, we're going to have a lot of weeks till Jesus comes in the new building. And by waiting a week, we get it right, and I do not have to violate the state fire marshal code. And I don't want you to visit me in Delaware County Jail. So I want you to do this, and then we're going to sing. Guys, don't go away on me. There is no order or rhyme to what I'm doing this morning other than in my mind. I don't know that I've ever done this before, but there's a first time for everything. So first of all, even if we never get in that new building, and we're going to in 14 days, but would you join me and let's just thank God for what He's given us thus far and how He's blessed it and used it. Thank you, God. Thank you. Now, would you be seated just for a moment? And what I want to do for a couple of minutes before we sing another song, well, we have guest singers. Jaron and Becky are with us this morning, and you're going to be blessed by them in a few moments, and our praise team's going to continue leading us. But I said that this would be a day of praise that we would recognize, and what I would like this moment to be is at the end of the service when the emotions are worked up and your tears are flowing and you respond to the Lord. Normally, you're just now getting the caffeine out of your body, but I need you in your mind, Doug, to go fast forward to the end of the service and just let your emotions be caught up in, Lord, what do you want to do in this moment? If you could do that, say amen. I want you to hear a couple testimonies of what God has done in the life of Genoa up to now. If He does nothing more, He's been so stinking good to us. And so I've asked a couple people to come this morning and share, and I think I'm going to start, Bob and Jane, with you guys, if you do not mind coming up right now. These are the Burks. I need a microphone that works. We have a contingency of folks that drive at least 50 miles a week one way to church. And when I say a contingency, I'm not talking about one couple. In Knox County, Mount Vernon, north from there, Loudonville, up towards Millersburg, we have over 120 families that drive every single week to come to Genoa Church. Every single week. Every time I look back here and I see Patrick Fields and Steve and the different guys that drive from Mansfield and Marion and Marengo, and those of you that come from down in the far part of Columbus and Grove City, you know it's 35 miles from here to Grove City. I know that every time I want to go to Golden Corral now because everyone else is shut down. I mean, it's quite a distance. It's no longer a neighborhood church alone. But a few years ago, God sent us a group of folks from Mount Vernon, Ohio. I don't know if you can tell, but Jane and I have similar halos because we're both from Mercer County, West Virginia, originally. But no, this farmer up here in Knox County had to steal her from the promised land, and they farm a gazillion acres of land in Mount Vernon. And on a Sunday, and I see Mount Vernon people all over here this morning, guys, thank you so much for being here. But Bob said something to me, because many of you will remember we drove up to Mount Vernon considering with 100 families maybe we should start a church up there. And I hate to say this because I know Carrie will love it, but they said, unless you can bring the choir with you, don't come. Do you remember that? Yeah, I remember it. And then Bob said something to me the next Sunday. I said, Bob, I hate that you guys drive so far. Their small group Bible study, the first time we were invited to come to dinner, there were like 30 people or 5,000. I couldn't tell which it was. Their home was filled, people loving on each other. And how many years have you all had your Bible group?
That's been over 20, probably 25.
Just bonding, loving, caring for one another. What the body of Christ can do together, it's just absolutely amazing. And now for these years, they've been faithful to Genoa. And I've asked them if they would share just a testimony with you this morning of the goodness of God in their lives. You know, I'll hold it, but if you're nervous, just let me help you. You're being watched all across the United States of America. This service is broadcast live on the radio in 88 counties in the state of Ohio.
That helps a lot.
I always want to calm your nerves, Jane. Just Hold it close.
My name is Jane Burke, and obviously I'm from Knox County, Mount Vernon. And originally, I was born and raised in West Virginia, same county, actually the same area that Pastor Frank and Deborah was raised in. I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandmother always talked about God, but she didn't talk about salvation because she really didn't understand how to tell us. We were very, very poor, as my husband knew, but I had my grandmother's heart always, could hear her voice saying to me, God will always love you. And we lived in the mountains, we were poor, and we had no way to get to church. I was sent to live in Mount Vernon as a teenager. Bad time to come and change homes, different people. But God meant it for something good. I met two things in my life when I moved to Mount Vernon. One was my husband of now 52 years.
Amen.
And the age of 22, I met my Savior Jesus.
Amen.
Over the years, I've learned many things about my Savior and His promises. In 2014, as you will hear Becky give her testimony, we also went through the very same challenges that came to her and many others of us. And I knew what she was going through, but I also could see her steadfast love in the Lord. And as all of us really had to be strong, it was a time that really shook our lives. God was leading us away from our comfort zone. And it's a scary thing. And especially when you've known people for 25, 30 years and you have to leave a situation you hadn't planned on. We prayed a lot. We prayed about everything and prayed constantly. And the solution didn't change. It just got worse. We finally knew we had to find a new church to worship and get on with our life and our service for Jesus our Lord. Becky had already made the decision to come to Genoa. She kept saying, you will love it here. God can heal you here. My husband said, I'm not going to drive that far. We tried a few other churches, and it never felt right. Finally, one morning, we decided to come to Genoa so Becky would stop asking us to come. It was totally different than what I expected in a large church. The people here, and I really sincerely mean this, were very loving, kind. They loved us, even though I felt like an outsider at first. But when we were here that first Sunday, I cried the whole service because the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was so warm and powerful, and I thank the Lord for that. We both came away from that service knowing God was speaking to us. The next Sunday, my husband said, where do you want to go to church today? He named off a few then and said, do you want to go to Genoa? I said, yes. The rest is history. What we didn't know is that many of our closest friends were also making that decision, and it really put together our family of people we know, as we also have known many of you now as our family. You know, God never wastes pain. What happened to us was painful. But in Jeremiah 3:33, he said, call on me and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. And another one of my anchor verses is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways trust him, and he will acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. God can turn ashes into beauty. If you are hurting, this church is a great place to heal. A place of love, understanding, peace, and joy.
Yes.
And most of all, you will find that Jesus loves you and can heal you of any situation. God bless you all.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm just looking forward to this. I've never heard him say more than two words.
Well, I won't disappoint you this morning.
Okay.
I'll say six today.
Okay.
As you already know, my name is Robert Burke. I go by Bob. When my wife and I were saved, it was shortly after we'd been married. We'd been married a couple years. And at that point in my life, I always had a yearning to serve God in some form, fashion. But I really didn't have any direction to help me see that need. We've been coming now down here to Genoa for 6 years, and I don't regret any time that I've been here. The drive down here, it just goes by so quickly that I just praise the Lord that we're able to come. We drive about 30 miles. I know Pastor Frank said 50, but...
Is that Pastor Frank calculations? He will learn.
But it takes about 35 to 40 minutes to drive down here. And we live closer probably to Fredericktown than we do Mount Vernon, so that shortens my trip the way we come over here to Genoa. But God laid it on our hearts to move after we experienced a situation in Mount Vernon. I've always been involved in some capacity in the church, and I feel that being here, I can fulfill that desire that God's laid upon my heart. And while searching for the church home, Genoa was suggested to us by our friend Becky, and I thought it was, like you've heard already said, that it was too far to drive. But after our first visit, I just said, this is where I want to be. I feel like I'm home. The drive doesn't seem far at all now. The time goes by quickly as we drive over. And like Pastor Frank said in many times before, the church that's alive is worth the drive.
Amen.
And I'm say amen to that. So
amen.
Thank you all.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bob, thank you, buddy. I love you. Thank you. Love you, girl. Thank you. Becky and Don, why don't you guys come up here now? I know you were just mentioned twice in that situation. This is a brother and sister. And Karen, you're not getting off that easy. Come up here. Come here. This is the Durbin family. They're not even Amish, and they had 14 brothers and sisters. But there were some long, cold winters in Knox County a number of years ago. And this is Don and Karen Durbin, and I personally, you know what a blessing all of you all have been to me and our ministry here, how much we love you. But this is the girl that started it all. This is Becky. She took a chance. She came. And I said, where are you from? She said, Mount Vernon. I said, oh, you're a 43050, which is the zip code at Mount Vernon, which is the first zip code I ever learned in the state of Ohio 44 years ago when we pulled up in a U-Haul truck and said, dear God, what have we done? What have we done? Becky wrote something for Amy Leewald's prayer group, I think, and I asked her if she would just read it. And Don and Karen are here for her support today. And if you would do that and hold that mic up close.
Testing, testing, testing. Just learn to do that. Okay, before I begin today, I just want each person to hear who has accepted Christ as their Savior to realize that you do have a testimony of your own, even if you're saved as a young child. And as you listen to my testimony, I just want you to know I'm not here to bash a particular religion, only to tell you that how a religion affected my life and how I came to Christ. So on December 2nd, 1980, was the day my life changed completely. It was the day I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and accept him as my Savior. And what a day that was. I was raised in a religious home, the eighth child of a family of 14 children. And this is my brother Donnie, he's number five. We were taught that the ticket to heaven was based on our good works. Religious rituals through the years began to become mundane and a bit boring. We were also taught the importance of going to Mass and upholding Catholic religion teachings. That included memorizing prayers and saying them often. I never talked to God in a personal way until I got saved. The first time I met Donnie's wife, Karen, was at Christmas time at a midnight Mass. She asked Donnie why I was wearing Kleenex on my head. That was another part of the Catholic upbringing, that women were to wear head coverings when they went to Mass. And by the age of 17, I was graduating high school and eager to start my first job at a local bank. During high school, I met and became engaged to a guy who was 1 year older than me. He then entered the U.S. Army, and we planned to get married after his 3-year obligation was up. Well, a lot of things happened in that period, and our engagement ended. I was very sad, but not for long because of what happened next. This is where it gets good. One day at my job, a college student came in seeking to open an account. The receptionist had stepped away from her desk, so he sat down at my desk while he waited for an officer to help him. And during our chat, he asked me about my background, and as soon as I told him I was Catholic, it just seemed like little antennas went up on his head. When he asked me what sin was, I was proud to tell him that there were two kinds, venial, which is the less serious of the two, and mortal sins, which is the kind that deprives your soul of divine grace. After I shared that, he looked at me in stunned amazement that I actually believed this. He went on to explain that all sin is sin, no matter the offense. I found myself actually interested in what he had to say because it made sense. Nothing else did. And by this time in my life, I had been living with my brother and his wife, Dawn and Karen Durbin, and I knew that they had been praying for my salvation. I continued to attend Mass while they went to their church, and I thought they were crazy for spending all morning at church. And I could be done with Mass in about 30 minutes tops. You get a good priest, they get it over quick. No offense. And I really felt I truly had the better deal. As time went on, they invited me to watch them get baptized in a river. And I'm thinking, really? A river? I didn't want anybody to know I had gone to a non-Catholic event. So in fact, I refused to be also in Don and Karen's wedding for the same reason. It wasn't Catholic. But when I went to the baptismal service for them, I hid behind a tree. I didn't want anybody to see me. But as a result of these things, I knew by now that God the Holy Spirit was surely pursuing me. Now back to the college guy. He invited me to an Advent service that was being held on the college campus where he attended. Again, my curiosity sprang into action and I went. After the service was over, he asked me the sin question again. He was all about this sin and wanted to make sure I knew what it meant. And asked me if I wanted to get rid of mine. I said, sure, because I didn't really know what else to say. What do you say? You want to keep your sin? I don't think so. So we went to a little room enclosed within a group of apartments at the college and sat on the floor and prayed together. He led me in a prayer where I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me from my sins. And I remember it like it was yesterday. There were two other college students in there as well, and they were so excited at what I had just done. Even though I didn't fully comprehend everything about what I had just done, I knew something was different. Something was happening in my life. He also got me a Bible and connected me to a Bible study group, and those are two things I love about Genoa that they stress here. You know, get involved in a small group and get in your Bible. He encouraged me to also start attending church with Don and Karen, which I did for the next 32 years. And I even got a job there. So fast forward to 2014. This is the clincher. God saw fit to move me on, and I began to attend Genoa Baptist Church. I knew I was supposed to be at Genoa after my first Sunday here. Meeting Pastor Frank and Deborah was so meaningful to me. They genuinely cared for me after a very ugly period in my life. That was 2.5 years long. My faith became so much stronger after I experienced the tremendous support God gave me through his people and how they took care of me. Every one of my obligations was taken care of, even including my house payment, everything. Many of them now make Genoa their home as well, those same people. So I later attended Church Membership Class 101 and eventually made my membership official. I told Pastor Frank that Genoa would be my healing place, and it has been, just as Jane said. When we were invited to write on the floor of our new worship center, I wrote that sentiment, Genoa, my healing place, along with the verse, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And it's on that floor over there, I trust me. I knew that I would not have been able to handle things that happened in my life over the years if I had not been grounded in the Word and in my faith. And I implore you here, know what you believe and know that it must be based on the Bible, not a religion. I want you to know how faithful my God is to me, and I am forever grateful and blessed. Thank you.
Amen. Give me a hug, girl. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much. God bless you. Let me have that Good Bean video. Roll that for a moment, if you would, please. This is just a little excerpt of something I want you to see with the story that's coming today. Okay, you don't have it. So let me tell my story without the video. I was getting gas in Mount Gilead, Ohio, one evening about a year ago. It was almost dark. My wife and I were mowing grass at a mission house, and it was almost dark, and I hear this noise while I'm at the gas pump. Frank? I don't know if you're familiar with the Amish community, but the dialect there is a form of German known as Pennsylvania Dutch, and unlike how Southerners draw their words out, this particular group of folks tend to elevate the end of sentences. Do you like it, Frank? Well, no, I like it, but do you like it, Frank? And so when he said the word Frank, I thought, I've heard that before from my dad, who was Pennsylvania Dutch. I turned, I didn't see anyone. A few seconds later, I hear it again, Frank? I turned and looked. I turned around, I saw this handsome young man smiling from ear to ear, and he said, are you Frank? I said, yeah, who are you? And he said, my name is Ivan. I said, well, hi, Ivan. And I figured he must have some connection with Genoa. He said, Frank. I said, Ivan, do you attend Genoa? Yes, Frank. I said, that's great. He said, Frank, could I get baptized? That's like telling me to go to a buffet. Yes. Yes. And so I said to him, Ivan, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He said, yes, Frank. I said, where at? And these are the words that got me. He said, at Genoa. I want you to meet my buddy Ivan this morning. Ivan Yoder, wherever you're at in this building, I want you to slip up here just for a moment, if you will. Come right over here, buddy. Is Ivan, would you give him a good hand as he comes up? Brother, I love you so very much. We had... that evening, we got the gas. He talked to me, and my wife's on the other side. And we said, Ivan, come with us. And we took him to the house, and we felt like we'd made a new best friend. And we talked, and we had a great evening. And he shared things with us, how he had left the Amish country. And I'm not going to go in great detail about that. But if you know anything of the isolation that's associated with the Amish community, it is a great step of faith to leave the community, one, two, to make profession of faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is almost anathema to the teaching of that what we would call almost a tribal mindset. But Ivan had done that, and we had a wonderful conversation. And then Ivan, I don't know if you remember, but we're sitting there. You told us right after you left the Amish community and came out. Well, first of all, let me tell them, don't always think of Amish with buggies and horses and quiet. Ivan has a rock music speaker system in his horse buggy. that would outdo just about anyone down in the hood. I just want you to know. And then when he finally got his driver's license and car, he said, Frank, do you want to hear it? Well, to the glory of God, our whole community heard it that night when he turned it up. But when Ivan first came out, you said something you did that I just couldn't believe. When he got his first or second paycheck, he went skydiving. I said, what were you thinking? You jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. Why would you do that? And he said, oh, I'm going to do it again. And so he shared his love for the Lord, and he came and he was baptized. Ivan, take that microphone just for a moment as he's taking it. Ladies, look, this model is now on display. We're looking for a wife. Ivan, how many are in your family? Hold that up close.
12 of them.
12 of them. 12 of them. Yep. And where are you in the order?
I'm the third one.
Third one down.
The oldest boy.
Well, I want to tell you what a blessing you've been to us. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ, Ivan?
Yes, I do.
You do. Not only do you love the Lord, and you were doing this, and others of you that are here that have come from the Amish community, most of you don't know this, but sprinkled throughout our congregation is a whole contingent of former Amish folks who have accepted Jesus Christ in their lives, and they're here, and they're worshiping with us on a regular basis. Stay right here. And one of them I want you to meet that predates Ivan. There's one family, and if I get in trouble for this, the family I'm getting ready to speak to, if this shouldn't be said, I promise you I will not do it in the next service. But always defer to the man with the microphone, so I'm going to say it. Bill and Monica Miller, I just want you to stand right where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you. Bill is former Amish. His precious wife, Monica, who is much prettier and smarter than he is, grew up Mennonite. And Bill owns a company, his partner's in a company, and they build houses. They're currently building the first phase of about 300 condominium units up in Morrow County, of all places. He's a tremendous businessman. But their ministry is going throughout all of the Amish community and helping young men accept Jesus Christ. They bring them to their home. They let them live. They bring them to Genoa. They accept Christ. They get baptized, and they're actively serving the Lord. And Aiden, I see you. Would you stand, Aiden, just for a moment? There's another example of a wonderful young man. And ladies, I'm not putting him up for auction. He does not know how to drive under the speed limit yet. So once we get him calm and tame, didn't you flip a car up on Route 225 and double, triple roll it? Stay away from our daughters, okay? Till you get that squared away, you just come to church. But there's also an individual here that I want you to meet this morning, and I'd like to introduce him to you. He's a former Amishman, and he now serves in the United States Navy as a Chief Petty Officer. I'd like you to join me in welcoming Chief Petty Officer Danny Gingrich to the platform. Danny, would you come? Was it 2008 that you got this? Just stay up for a minute. This won't be long. Predating all of you, what year were you born?
02.
You were only five when Danny came to us. You're a little twerp. Danny, tell us your story, how you came to Genoa and what happened when you got here.
Well, like Pastor Frank said, my name is Danny Gingrich. I left the Amish community in 2003. And like I always say, I left for the wrong reasons. I left because I was rebellious. But I never went back to that for the right reasons. 5 years, close to 5 years after I left, is when I came here. But the events leading up to that was, I got maybe a little arrogant. I was a young businessman, I had my own company, and then 2008, the economy tanked. Well, the Lord took everything from me. He broke me. And I only made one New Year's resolution that I've ever kept. And my resolution for 2008 was, I'm going to find a church, and I'm going to start attending. I went to five different churches. None of them felt right. And my cousin, Danny Hirschberger, brought me here in, I believe it was the end of January of 2008. And during spring revival in March of 2008, I accepted Jesus at this altar. And up until that point, I always was curious about the military, but I wasn't brave enough to join. Well, I tried everything in my power to avoid that. And the Lord closed every single door in my face and except the military. So in May of 2008, I enlisted in the military for 8 years. And in September of that same year, 2008, I went to boot camp. And here I am almost 13 years later. And last year, I had the privilege of getting promoted to Chief Petty Officer.
Amen.
I've only shed tears twice in my life. The first time was at this altar when I got saved. The second time was when I earned this uniform in this past January. And it's all because of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Wait a minute. I want you to listen to everyone needs a goal. Everyone needs a purpose. Every person in this room needs to have a reason to get up every morning. What's your goal in the military, Danny?
So when I first joined the military, I found out what a chief petty officer was. And that was a rank that is very difficult to achieve. And I made a personal commitment to myself that I want to achieve that rank. Well, last year I finally achieved that, and I did a little research. I was curious if I was the first one to be raised in the Amish community to ever achieve that rank. Well, I'm not the first, but I'm the second. There's one, and during Vietnam, and his name is Irvin Byler. He achieved the rank of Senior Chief Petty Officer, which is one rank above me. Well, I made a new goal with the help of the Lord. I want to achieve the rank of Master Chief Petty Officer, which is as far as high as I can go. So, good Lord willing, we'll see what happens in the next 10 years, maybe.
And give him a hand. Before he goes off, ladies, he's available. He obeys the speed limit. And he is richer than dirt right now. I just want you to know that. Would you give these guys a great hand as they go down? Thank you, Ivan. I love you. You may be seated. I want to tell you about one more person because we're talking about people whose lives have been changed at Genoa. His name's Larry. He only came to church here one time. Can you believe that? One time and I'm out of here. He never came back. He'll never be back. He sat dead center right where you're sitting. He worked at the Texas Roadhouse, and he was the star gymnast for the Ohio State University. His boss, Brent Johnson, who's here somewhere that has the Texas Roadhouse, pay me for that plug, invited him like he invites all his waiters and waitresses to come to Genoa. Larry said here, honestly, I thought because they walked up, introduced me to him, told me that he was a parallel bar gymnast jumping, you know, like, I hate people like that. But he was very talented. And he just stared at me the whole time. I mean, he didn't look around. He just had his eyes the whole service, the front row. I had to notice it, Frank. He was right there. He left. I didn't know anything. I get a phone call on Tuesday morning from one of his friends and his family in Indiana. They said, "We understand that our son was in your church service on Sunday morning. His name is Larry." They gave me his last name. And I said, "Yes, I met him." They said he was killed this morning at 4:30. A tractor trailer coming off a ramp in Reynoldsburg slid over the side, and he was getting in his truck and just crushed him and killed him. They said that, "I understand he filled a card out. Could you please find the card and tell us what he wrote on it?" Found the card. And it simply had his name, his address, and on the back were their comments. He said, "Today I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior." I am so looking forward to get to heaven to see him again. I know that the Lord used him in his death because the entire Ohio State gym team went to Indianapolis when we did the funeral. And the word of God and the testimony went out, and we were able to share that card with his teammates that Larry was the winner, that he made the most important decision in the world. So, Kathy, would you play that Jimmy Swaggart background music for a minute? Did I not tell you this was not planned? Pardon? Of course we're good. Actually, we're great. Okay, I can do sign language. It's the end of the service almost. You've had time to reflect on your relationship at Genoa over the last 20, some of you 30 years. If God has changed your life, if there's been a milestone, if there's been a place that you can benchmark that God did something special through the ministry of this church or someone in this church, would you just stand right now all over this room? As your testimony, as if though you were on this platform. God did this for me. Some of you have recovered from divorce. Some of you recovered from the loss of a loved one, a spouse, a child, a parent. It's been tough, hasn't it? But you've held in there. And you know what gives me inspiration to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that when I hear about the things that you all go through, Rex, I'm looking at you just a couple years ago, buddy. Come here, Rex. This precious brother, this precious man of God, a little over 2 years ago, we were in a morning service just like this. He gets the most devastating call that any man can possibly get. He got the call that his firstborn, his oldest son, Reed, had passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. And Reed died from what is destroying so many children. We buried 12 more Reed's age from this church in the last 3 years. It's an accidental drug overdose. And since then, Rex has taken something that has been very bad and very hard, and just like he's crying now, you can understand that. He's weeping, but in the midst of his tears, he's planting seeds and flowers. He started an organization internationally now known as the Reed Foundation, using music. Is that right, Rex? As therapy to help other young people. And what a difference you're making in that area. But here's what I love about you. I haven't lost a kid, but 2 weeks later, I lost my nephew that I raised, same way. But you have stood strong through this. And I see God giving you grace. I see some of you precious little ladies whose husbands, you know, the men always usually die first. And you say to me in the hospital, I'll never make it without him. And then I watch you make it without him. And I watch God undergird you and strengthen you and build you up. And I say, it's the amazing grace of God. I've seen him save marriages that were caught in adultery. I've seen him bring wayward children back. I'm claiming that for my children. But I'm so glad we're part of a fellowship of real people that are all depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to say anything at all?
This is a man truly blessed, God. What a beautiful ministry he is blessing with. And we are the recipients of that blessing. So beautiful.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, Rex. You may be seated. This is the hardest part. How many are here? You haven't gotten your healing yet. Right now, you're listening to these things, and you say, oh, you don't know what we're going through right now. I want to invite you all across this room to have the courage to stand and say, I am really going through it. Our family is really going through it. It may be physical, it may be financial, it may be emotional, relational. It could be a sin problem, but whatever it is, you would stand and say, I'm standing and trusting God for this situation. Would you stand right now all over this room if that's you? You just stand up and say, God, I need your touch. It's me, Lord. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me standing in need of prayer. God, I need a miracle. Anyone else here today? No one else needs a miracle. Everyone else is good. You need something from God. You stand up right now. And I want you to remember this day when you walk out of here, you tell the devil and you tell the world, I stood up for my family, for my need, for my children, and I know what God did for them. He doesn't love them any more than he loves me, and he can do it again. And in Jesus' name, I pray, God, such a movement in our lives that you will either move the mountain or give us strength to walk around the mountain or stand still, be still, and know that you are God. How I pray, Lord, for many miracles in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. The ushers are going to come now, and we're going to have communion. And I'm going to ask our guest singers to come up. Guys, praise team, I know I've ruined it for you. Fire me. I don't care. Just you guys go down. Jaron and Carrie, the communion's going to be passed. Can I tell you this before it's passed? Good morning, Michael. Michael, come here just a minute. I want you to meet Michael. Michael, tell them what part of southern West Virginia you're from.
Denmark.
Denmark. I thought so. The real Denmark. Michael's a tremendous Bible teacher. Not only does he have a home group, he occasionally teaches our men's group on Saturday mornings. And I thank God for you, brother, that thank you're here. Thank you for being here so much.
Thank you.
Here's what I want to say to you. When these buckets go by, this is for Christians. If you have not personally accepted Jesus Christ, please trust me, don't touch one of these. This belongs to the body of Christ. If I had 5 minutes, I would explain it. I don't. Just let it go by. It's not a snack. And then in a moment, we're going to share. Jaron Davis is the author. Jaron, are you up here yet? How many songs have you and Becky written all together in your life, roughly? How many? Many of you remember Jaron Davis. He's blessed Carrie. They've worked together so much. But the song I'd like you to sing now is the song On Holy Ground. Becky, good morning. Thank you for coming and being with us. This didn't go the way we planned it, but I planned that it wouldn't go the way we planned it. So what they're going to do, they're going to begin leading us as you get that, and in a moment I'm going to lead you in taking communion, and then we're going to stand and we're going to sing together On Holy Ground. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I've cried enough tears today to let this service be sponsored by Kleenex. Pastor Frank, I cry every time I leave here because you remind me so much of my pastor dad, who is in glory now. But being around you, you're a great preacher. You're a great leader. But more than that, you're a great pastor with a passion. And I've watched the evidence today of what happens when someone with a passion shares the passion and you catch the passion and other people get the passion. And people for over 30 years, it's a long time since you scooped up a cup full of dirt in the 80s. God has done so much. He's getting ready to do even more. The best is yet to come. The latter will be greater. One thing that has made a significant difference, the first lady who spoke today referred to this, is every time people have come here, they've known without a shadow of a doubt that they're in the presence.
Trust.
Jehovah God abides here. This is holy ground, and in His presence there's joy beyond all measure. And at the feet of Jesus, peace of mind can still be found. And I've got good news for somebody. If you have a need in your life, Jesus is your answer. Just reach out and claim it, for we are standing on holy ground. This is holy ground.
We are standing.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul speaking, for what I received from the Lord, I pass to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, and had I preached, I was going to preach on that betrayal, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you take the bread? And then the scripture says, in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new promise, the new testament. In my blood." And I'm so sorry, I'm going to pause. Forgive me, guys. If you were here and you didn't take one of those communions because you needed something gluten-free or sugar-free, there are 9 wonderful deacons standing around here to give that to you. Would you raise your hand high and they'll walk to you very quickly. If there is anyone, right back here, guys, in this middle row, I need to see your hand. I didn't realize in years past the importance for some folks. If you're watching by home, I'd encourage you just to get a little cracker and a cup of water. That right in your house this morning, symbolically, you can share in that broken body, that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone else at all? In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." Now, here's what I love about the blood of Jesus Christ. I go to the store and I buy soda pop. It has an expiration date on it. I buy milk. I always try to push the date on that carton farther than I should. Have you ever tasted bad milk? Just once is all it takes. It has an expiration date. Lean up real close for a minute. The blood of Jesus Christ has no expiration date on it. It was good 2,000 years ago. It is efficacious today, and it will be good for you all of your life.
Yes, sir.
And that's why you don't ever give up on that child that's still half grown or midlife. They've not come to the Lord yet. This room is filled with prodigals. John Salyers, you were a prodigal. What God has done in your life is a tremendous testimony of grace. Many of you could stay, "There go I, but for the grace of God." So when you put that cup to your mouth, when the Lord says, "Do this in remembrance of me," remember back to the day of what he did for you. Would you take the cup? Father, we realize that we're standing on holy ground today. And help us collectively as a church worship together. Would you lift up your voices as we sing together?
We are standing.
Give him praise.
On
share this with you before we go. First of all, the one person that's going to be featured in the next service that was not in this one, unless she slipped in here, is Taylor Valentine. Taylor, are you here? Taylor Valentine is the granddaughter of someone that the vast majority of this church loved so dearly, Pastor Paul Caldwell. Paul is in heaven, his wife is in heaven, his daughter's in heaven. I had the privilege of marrying Taylor to her husband. Got the last name Valentine. Isn't that wonderful? She texted me a few weeks ago and she said, Pastor Frank, could I please be baptized in Pat Paul's church before you leave it? And she'll be here the next service. It's going to be great. I've been here 32 years. Though I don't appreciate Becky Durbin's statement about the priest going much shorter than I go. Becky, I want you to know something. We have a contingent of Catholics that attend here that come to this church the first service and go to St. Paul Mass the second service. And over the years, I've asked them, why do you do both of those? They said, Pastor Frank, we come here because we feel the Holy Spirit and we get inspired. But we go to Mass to make sure we're going to heaven. So, Becky, if you backslide and you need to get a little Mass in, I pray you'll get a flat tire. 32 years I've been the pastor of this church. 32 years I've never done what I've done this morning. All week long, the Lord troubled my heart to change. I told the communion people, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. You have to wait on me. By the way, my son-in-law, Carrie, and Jaron has been such a blessing to my son-in-law. These guys have written music together. In fact, there's a new choir book that's coming out. And in 2 weeks, when we go in the new building, you're going to hear our choir for the first time in 16 months. How we're looking forward to that again. But in all those years, I've never not preached. I've even made fun sometimes of preachers that don't preach on Sunday morning and just let the Spirit flow, because number one, I've been to those services and I'm pretty sure that wasn't the Spirit what I saw happening. And number two, I think it's their lack of preparation. So for me to forego preaching the Logos, the Word to you, is almost anathema to my thinking. Doesn't happen. But you know, there are two ways you get the Word. There's the Logos, there's the written Word. There's also the Rhema Word. And that's the spoken Word of God. And I believe God's spoken to some of you this morning. And when I was really struggling, my friend Rex, that was up here just a moment ago. And Rex, I didn't tell you this, but this is what helped me go the way I went today. At 6:03 p.m., out of the blue, he texts me. He says, Frank, you're a window to grace. Leave them open. Follow your heart. Where the soul goes, the earthly body will follow. And that was my confirmation that I was just going to give this service to the Lord this morning. The only thing I haven't done is what I do every week of my life when I preach, and that is to give you an opportunity, if you're here, or if you're listening, and you've not trusted Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done for these folks, there's enough blood for you too. The blood hasn't expired, but you'll never go to heaven by coming to Genoa or going to Mass, by joining a church or giving money or doing good works. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ alone. And that relationship can happen right in your seat if you sense the Holy Spirit drawing you and speaking to you. Isn't it time that you give up? You've tried everything. In the quietness of this moment, wouldn't you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, as much as I know how, I give you my life. Make me the person you want me to be and forgive me my sins. I confess you and you alone to lead me from this point forward. Heads are bowed, no one's looking around. Could this be the remembrance for you at Genoa that today you prayed that prayer, and right now you lift your hand and say, Pastor Frank, today I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just lift up your hand and then you can slip it back down again. Anyone like that, God bless you, God bless you. Are there others? Today I'm making a decision to follow, God bless you, to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We've been rejoicing, but the Bible says when one person comes to the Lord, there's rejoicing in heaven. Can you imagine that? Father, thank you for your goodness for 32 years in this building, in this property. And yet as we get ready to go in the new building, I'm claiming the verse, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those that love him.